And then we want to have some feedback. We really want to hear more ideas and more insight on this subject of belonging. So I'm going to just kind of just simply review a little bit of what I said last week, just to throw out a few of the components. We're looking at, as a spiritual family, we're wanting to identify what are the components that cause people to feel like they belong, a sense of belonging. And I mentioned two or three of them last week, and I'm just going to say them again real fast, but we want you to add to them. So we're going to have a small group discussion for about 15 minutes. Then we're going to have the microphone, and we're going to have you share one idea from your group that hasn't already been shared. And again, when the line is long, if they tell you the idea, you're going to say, then go ahead and sit down. Because we got some note takers, and we want to learn as a community how to do this better. The points I was making last week, of course, I'm going to say the standard verse I've used the last two or three weeks, that it's not good for man to be alone. That's what God says about human beings. That God has designed us, we can't thrive alone. That's simply because God is in community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He made us that way. Then I said, asked the question last week, what does belonging look like? And the reason I asked, and what are the components necessary? The reason I asked that, because one of the most prominent, oft-repeated themes in discussion across the nations is the need for the sense of belonging. I mean, they're talking about it in the kingdom, outside the kingdom, in college campuses, in the workplace, everywhere they're talking about this issue. I believe the Lord's shining a light on this because 20 and 30 years ago, you heard a little bit on it, but now it's one of the dominant conversations on the planet when people are talking about groups. How do you belong? Now, the problem is, I mentioned last week, is I think one of the most destructive things to belonging is idealism, that we're aiming at unreality. We're aiming at things that aren't going to happen, so we're perpetually stuck in discontentment. And that's real easy to do, because there's no perfect science as to what belonging really is. But everybody wants it. And again, in the last 5-10 years, it's really become prominent, and it's going to become more and more. And the more socially, you know, digitally connected the earth is, they say the more isolated and relationally disconnected they are. So the conversation is intensifying. We have to belong, but the reality is getting less and less and less of people actually belonging. And I want to, and the enemy wants to throw curveballs at us so that we're aiming at the wrong target, so we're discontent, instead of aiming at the right target and celebrating it, even in its budding forms, and saying, Lord, show me more. Thank you, show me more. Thank you, show me more. I want to invest in it, because that's the attitude, that's the approach that actually causes it to go and to work. The enemy does not want this to work. The verse I used last week was, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Proverbs 13, verse 2. Hope deferred. When we're hoping for something, expectation, and it gets put off, our heart gets sick. We get angry. We get disappointed. We just want to quit. And that's that. The enemy wants the sense of belonging community to be in this department. An expectation that never happens, so we end up heart sick. 1 Corinthians 14, the very simple verse we all know. It says, pursue love. Another word for pursue is take initiative. Take initiative. Now, the normal thing is to wait till people pursue loving us. And we all like that, and that's good to be pursued. But Paul is urging the Corinthians, I want you as an individual to take the initiative, which pursue an initiative is the same thing, actually. You go pursue love. And pursue love isn't a generic, you know, we just love everybody. That's not practical. It's really talking about zeroing in to a smaller number. I don't mean just one person, you pursue them. There's other definitions of that sometimes. But I'm talking about where you're looking around the people God set around you. And you're saying, Holy Spirit, just highlight. Show me 5 or 10 of them, whatever the number is. There's no perfect number. It's not 100 is the idea. It's more than one. Might start as one. Show me a few people that I'm going to consistently pursue. I want to learn their story. I want to celebrate who they are. I got to learn about it. And I'm not going to hear their story in one setting. And I'm not going to bombard them to where they feel like, oh, gee, who are you again now? But it takes time, but it's a pursuit. And pursuit is talking to them. It's not just walking by them and doing that. That's good. Talking to them plus actions, little actions, small actions, little acts of kindness, small helpful things. There's 1,000 helpful little things. You talk to them. You do small acts of kindness for them. And you let time pass, and that friendship, that little budding friendship, starts growing. And there's no mystery to it. There's no magic to it. But as long as we're pursuing the crowd to love them, we're actually not actually engaging and pursuing individuals. And I didn't say, you know, 10 of you pursue 1,000. It says 1,000 each go pursue 10, or whatever the number. 10's just a made-up number. I mentioned Romans chapter 8 last week that there's a handful of verses where Paul talked about the Spirit's moving. There's a certain amount of joy, but he goes, even in the midst of it, there's a groan. I don't care how good it gets in this age, the Lord has orchestrated it in such a way that there is a groan. He wants the groan there. That's important to him. He wants the groan to be present. That's that God-shaped vacuum where the Lord says, no human will fulfill it, so don't hope that somebody will fulfill it. Because there's a place in your spirit that God protects for him. A spouse can't fill it. A friend can't fill it. An experience can't fill it. Only he can. But even he does not fill it fully in this age. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, in this age, we see dimly. I want you to catch that. It's not just prophetic visions we see dimly. We see each other dimly. We see ourselves dimly. We don't see clearly. I mean, we want to, and we contend for it, and we reach for it, but we don't. He said, but the day is coming. You only know in part. I want to say something that might be real obvious to some and might be a new thought to others. You only know yourself in part. How much more do you only know that other person in part? But he says there's coming a day where we will be known fully and face to face. But that fully face to face is yet to come. But I look at the Lord's leadership, I say, okay, there's a groan there, and it's only in part, and it's dim. But you say it's valuable and it's necessary. He goes, yeah. Some folks just maybe have never done the math, but they're thinking, when it's deep and profound, then I'm in. The Lord says, no. When it's dim and there's a groan, I want you still to look for those 5 or 10 or 15. Now I want you to say things, talk to them. Hear their story in little increments, 3 minutes, 8 minutes, 12 minutes, checking in. Do little acts of kindness and let time go by. And if we get 1,000 people, if we get half of those doing that, and the heart in this place is so remarkable to please the Lord and to go deep in God. Beloved, we have an opportunity as a community to really go deep in this reality. Well, I gave 3 components to belonging. And some of you commented to me, said, oh, I never even thought about those components. But there might be 10 or 20. So I'm going to just be done in a minute. I'm only stirring this up so we're in the same conversation as a community. And this conversation won't be over in a week or a month. We'll be in this conversation for a long time, for some years. I don't mean we won't make advance for a couple years. We'll make advances. We're making advances right now. But this is the most sought after reality, I think, on the planet right now. To feel like you belong. To God and to people. That is one of the craving needs of the human heart. So it behooves us to take time to look at this. And the reason I want to get in small groups, because some of you have never actually verbalized what you think the components are. You might say, I don't feel like I belong. And then, as I said last week, I've asked many people, what does it look like when you do belong? And I've asked this question for 40 years. And more times than not, it's like, huh. What does it look like when you do belong? You know, you belong. No. Break it down for me a little bit. How do you know when it's happening? How do you know it's not happening right now with you? Well, I want something really deep with people that are really cool. Maybe that's not what belonging's mostly about. Something really deep with a few people that are really cool. Maybe that's the wrong target. Really deep is cool, but even really deep is still in part. But can we celebrate? Can we see what we have and say, Lord, thank you, give more. Thank you, give more. I'm going to sow and invest in it. I am sure that's the pursuit forward. That's the progress forward I'm talking about. Number one, I talked about vision and values. That when we really buy into, I'm talking about corporately, the spiritual family, the vision and the values. Now, when I mean vision, I don't mean a 24/7 prayer room. That's not what I mean by vision. Some people thought that. I said, no, because when you move, you think, you mean I have to go start 24/7? No, I'm talking about a prayer culture and an idea of Jesus being beautiful and pursued and even a touch of the forerunner spirit in the midst of the pursuit and values of humility, values of taking initiative, values of persevering in small things. Those kind of values is what I'm talking about. Now, here's how you can tell if you really buy the values and the vision. And again, you could go on and on talking about those. That when I see somebody engaging in the vision, like whether the prayer room or here or wherever, I see him engaging and my heart goes, yes. And something jumps in me, ever so slight, but it's real. I go, I'm in. And is there anybody around the room that when they're pursuing the Lord in our midst, you look at them and go, oh, they're doing it. This makes me happy. Beloved, that's because they're your people. You're a part of their tribe. If you look around and nobody does that to you, you might be in the wrong tribe. I'm not saying that negatively. I want to see everyone get in the tribe where they resonate with the vision and values, to where they see it happen a little bit and something leaps in them, just a little bit. Or when they go to another city, they still pursue those visions and values, that vision and value. That's when you know it's yours. This is a critical part because some folks join for whatever reasons, and I'm not trying to analyze all that, and I'm not talking negative at all. I'm helping to discern and identify that if you haven't really seen the vision and you don't say, this is my tribe and my people, belonging already is going to be more challenged even on that point right there. But when I see somebody and my heart leaps, because I don't mean they're amazing in some exaggerated way, but I go, man, we got the same spirit. This is my tribe. Something starts moving forward with that little beginning. Another area is function. That you got to have a meaningful function. Now, here's the problem with the function. Often the function that that God spoke to us about, that we desire, that it's probably really real, doesn't always, that opportunity is not always there immediately. And without a function and a contribution, people, the sense of belonging just gets cut off. It just dies. Often the Lord says, I want you to function this way because I value it, but I'm going to lead to another, but I want you to lean into the function and celebrate. I've given you assignment, ever so small of an assignment, but I gave you one and it's my assignment. And when we connect that, instead of just, I will feel like I belong when I have that role, then I belong. And that does help. But beloved, if you're in the will of God, even if it's not the function that you're longing for, but the Lord is pleased with you and you're doing it faithfully, that really does contribute. And the third thing I mentioned is friends. I talked about that if you have 20 or 30 friends. I mean general friends. I'm talking about the beginning of friendship, just the introduction. The introductory beginnings of friendship, 20 or 30. And you have two or three close ones. Some folks think the only friends are the deepest ones and they don't have any. I have no friends. I go, well, I think you probably do. I think you probably do have friends. What are some of the components of a beginning friendship? Number one, I'm going to be ever so brief on this. And again, I want you to talk on this. We'll talk more about it. They're pretty self-evident. But you're a little bit familiar with them. You know a little bit about them, and they know a little bit about you. That makes them distinct from the 8 billion people on planet Earth. You know a little bit about them, and they know a little bit about you. A little familiarity, that's how it begins. That's real. Of the 2 million people in Kansas City, you only know a little bit about a small number. The Lord says, is that a coincidence? Is that meaningless? Does that mean something to you? Of the 2 million people in the metro area, you know a little bit about 20 or 30 people, and they know a little bit about you. That's something. Don't throw that away as nothing, because it's not the deepest. They're not your most intimate, but something's beginning. Would you water that seed? They may never be the closest, but it's still valuable. Secondly, when I think of friendship, I think it's people that you can celebrate. You're contending for them. You may not know them well, but when something good happens, something in you goes, ooh, did you hear? She got touched. Did you hear what happened? I don't know her that well, but that little, beloved, where did that come from? There's 2 million people in Kansas City you don't do that with. There's 20 or 30 people around most of you where if something good happens or something tragic happens, you want to contend. You say, I don't really know her story, but man, I'm in. I want to help be an answer to that. I may not be the answer, but I want to be. Thirdly, there's a sense of camaraderie. A little bit. These folks up here were sharing in the night watch. A bunch of you out there said, this thing only works if they do their role. We're in this thing together. I don't have the night watch assignment, you might say. And they don't have your assignment, but you're saying, man, we're pulling this wagon up the hill together. There's a little bit of camaraderie. 2 million people in Kansas City, you don't have anything like that with. Is that an accident? Is there something happening? Is that worth watering and celebrating? Is that worth the Lord saying, Lord, I want to sow into that? Or until I'm deep in relationship with the most cool three people I know, I have no friends. The Lord says, no, shift your focus. Shift it. I want this to work for you. I put you here for a reason. But you've got to pursue love. You've got to take initiative. You can't just sit on row 10 and wait for them to pursue you. I mean, most humans do that because that's human. That's very normal. But it doesn't really work. The community doesn't thrive until a majority are pursuing individuals, these 5 or 10 or whatever the number. The other one, I got two more, mutual enjoyment. Do you have a little bit of enjoyment? When they're talking and you're in the small group, you're going, hey, I enjoyed that. Or is it like, oh, man, this is more bitter than death. Let's get this meeting over with. I've ran into a few of those, but I'm in a lot of conversations I don't know very well, but I go, I like that. That was cool. I mean, maybe cool is maybe not the right word, but there's a beginning enjoyment, not deeply satisfying, but the enjoyment is there. It's real. It's not deep, but it's real. And there's somewhat, that's the key phrase, that's my final thing, personal sharing, somewhat. A somewhat unguarded heart. Not totally unguarded, you're moving forward, but you're somewhat talking personally, even in short sound bites. There's 2 million people in Kansas City you don't do any of that with. Anyway, those are 5 different little, just small indicators of what the 20 to 30 friends look like. And many of you in this room have 20 or 30 people that you've got that budding reality, and some of those will become deep friends. If you have 2 or 3 deep friends, you are blessed among people on the earth. That's a glorious thing. So I'd like everyone to stand up if you would.